Thank you, Jesus, for loving us and showing us what unconditional love means. Fill us with your Holy Spirit this morning so we can care for and love our world and our neighbor. We need to hear over and over that nothing will separate us from your love. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text today is in Galatians 5. I'm carrying on from last week. Galatians 5, 1 to 12. Ernie will have it up. You can follow it as I read it. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Listen, I, Paul, am telling you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Once again, I testify to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obliged to obey the entire law. You who want to be reckoned as righteous by the law have cut yourselves off from Christ. You've fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit of by faith, we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. The only thing that counts is faith working through love. You were running well. Who prevented you from obeying the truth? Such persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough. I'm confident about you and the Lord that you will not think otherwise. But whoever it is that is confusing you will pay the penalty. My brothers and sisters, why am I still being persecuted if I'm still preaching circumcision? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish that those who unsettle you would castrate themselves. Have you ever wondered what it'd be like if you could travel back into the past looking for a better time period? The good old days of rock and roll in the 60s and 70s. Has anyone produced a good song since then? How do we get back to the quieter times of our childhood when things were more simplified and there was less noise, pressure, and expectations? Where supper consisted of meat and potatoes, and then to spice things up the next day you had potatoes and meat. Families and neighbors were only stone's throw away, and now they live on the other side of the world or cell phone call or video chat away. There's no doubt that things have changed because of the Industrial Revolution, technological advances, and things like the internet. I don't miss the outdoor climbing, my hands and feet being frostbitten because of not having enough warm clothes, or walking 5 miles to school uphill and 5 miles back. Okay, some things remain the same. This last week, I was out on the sidewalk walking, and it must have been after school program or something. All these little kids were coming down the sidewalk. And I could hear one boy say to the other boy, I have a brother that's 26 years old, and he's going to come and beat you up. I never imagined being able to drive a car or have such a wonderful wife and children and now grandchildren. The one thing that has remained constant throughout the history of the world is God's relationship to us and our relationship to each other. You see, if we choose to stay in the past, we also don't experience the richness of what's waiting for us in the future. In the book of Galatians, there's a conflict, a battle, a brawl over the religious traditions of the past, the law, circumcision, religious holidays, and one's newfound faith in Jesus through faith and grace. Sometimes it's hard to pry our fingers off what was the old boyfriend, the old job, the old time religion. Embrace all that is new for us in Christ. To give some framework, we'll glance back at Galatians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul uses the imagery of being a slave and contrasts it with being a free person. He points back to the Old Testament story of Ishmael being born from a slave woman and Isaac being born of a free woman. In the end, it was Isaac who was going to inherit everything from his father. Paul is saying to go back to embrace the law and the traditions after encountering the risen Christ is like going back to being a slave after being freed. It's of no benefit. Galatians 5:1, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. In other words, now that you've experienced complete freedom in Jesus, Don't go backwards into religion and all it claims to offer. Don't allow chains to be once again put around your neck, your hands, and your feet. Don't be plagued by the thoughts that you need to earn your way to God, or that you've done so many bad things you cannot be forgiven, or that you're not worthy to receive this gift of free life. These are lies that want to corral us back into bondage. Don't let it happen to you. Stand firm and stand strong in your relationship with Jesus. Galatians 5:2. Listen, I, Paul, am telling you, if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will have no benefit for you. Okay, we will not have a show of hands today as to who has been circumcised and who has not. Just warning you. Why was circumcision so important to these Jewish Christians? Throughout history of the Jewish nation, recorded through the Old Testament, God had set them apart as being his people, and they were his God. They were set apart from everyone else in the world, basically the Gentiles. The Jews were to reflect what the Lord was really like to all the other nations. How they did this was through very physical actions, animal sacrifices, following the laws of Moses, celebrating certain holidays, and men were circumcised. These physical actions were to reveal a heart-like response in their love for God. Do you remember the story of David and Goliath? 1 Samuel 17:26. And David said to the men standing by him, "What should be done for this man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" So we can see the contrast in the Old Testament. To be circumcised was to be a friend with God, and uncircumcised were enemies of God. With Jesus' life, ministry, death, resurrection, ascension, and present-day reign, we are made in right relationship with God through faith on the inside, which now impacts our outside. The Apostle Paul wants to make it clear it's not Jesus and circumcision that makes us right before God. It's our faith in Jesus and only Jesus. Galatians 5:3, "Once again I testify to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he's obliged to obey the entire law." The issue was not so much about getting circumcised as it was why they were getting circumcised. Paul's saying, if you're going to go down this path of earning your way to God by circumcision, don't forget you also need to uphold the law of Moses. And therein lies the problem. No one could live up to all the laws. James 2:10, it says, "For the one person who keeps all the laws except one is as guilty as a person who's broken all of God's laws." Everyone has broken at least one law. So this pathway is broken. Galatians 5:4, "You who want to be reckoned as righteous by the law have cut yourself off from Christ. You've fallen away from grace." Just like you cannot put diesel in a gas engine or put gas in a diesel engine. Well, I guess you could do that, but you'd wreck the engine. If you're trying to earn your way into right standing with God, it means that you're not receiving or relying on his free gift of grace. It's one or the other. Galatians 5:5, "For through the Spirit by faith, we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness." The New Living says it like this, "But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised us." When we receive something by faith, we're trusting that the one who's made the promise to us can fulfill what they promised. Now, Carrie, my wife, could ask for a certain type of chocolate for her birthday in faith that I will not eat it before it gets to her. But that may not be a good bet at all. But God always fulfills his promise. It's part of who he is. It's his character. Galatians 5:6, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision or non-circumcision counts for anything. The only thing that counts is faith working through love." Most of you would be familiar with 1 Corinthians 13. It's called the love chapter. Here's verse 2. "If I had the gift of prophecy, if I understood of all God's great secrets and plans, possessed all knowledge, And if I had such faith I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would have nothing. I have a friend who works in a prison as a chaplain. He says people come and visit the prisoners, and within seconds, they know, the prisoners know, if you're genuine and care about them, or if you're just wasting their time. We can do all the religious things in the world, but if we don't love, what do we have? Galatians 5, 7 and 9. You were running so well. Who prevented you from obeying the truth? Such persuasion doesn't come from the one who calls you. A little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough. It doesn't take much for us to be distracted with secondary things that move us away from the essential. We want to create some quiet space to pray or listen, but the phone rings. Sometimes our minds are so full of stuff, we can't even get quiet. And another factor is that people influence us. In Proverbs it says, if you hang out with angry people, you become an angry person. If you hang out with wise people, you become wise. Who are we hanging out with, and how are they influencing us? Is the influence or residue of hanging out leaving a negative or positive impact on you? And then for all you bakers out there, it only takes a little bit of yeast to make the whole loaf of bread rise. A little bit of legalism can impact or influence the whole church in the wrong direction. Galatians 5:10. I am confident about you in the Lord, and that you will not think otherwise. But whoever it is that is confusing you will pay the penalty. Matthew 18:6, Jesus warns, but if you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to fall in sin, it'd be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be thrown into the depths of the sea. We are all influencers. And when I say that, I don't mean go start your own YouTube channel as an influencer. We're all influencers. So we need to be responsible in how we impact others. The Bible even cautions those who are in leadership positions within the church. With much privilege comes much responsibility. Galatians 5:11. But my brothers and sisters, why am I still being persecuted if I'm still preaching circumcision? In that case, the offense of the cross would be removed. Because Paul was preaching the truth of Christ and him crucified, he was being persecuted by both the Jews and Judaizers. People will always talk about religious things. But when you identify your whole life with Jesus, people often get uncomfortable. They want to live their lives in whatever way pleases them without being accountable for their actions or influence on others. Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no other way to the Heavenly Father but through him. We don't get to set the agenda for our lives. Jesus does. Galatians 5:12. I wish those who unsettle you would castrate themselves. Do you catch a little frustration in Paul's tone here? How far do we need to go to actually please God? Do we need to climb the highest mountain or swim the deepest ocean to prove our love for him? Every year around Easter, there are people in places like the Philippines who crawl on broken glass or have themselves nailed to crosses in an effort to prove their devotion to God. This is completely crazy and nothing what a relationship with Jesus should look like. We're saved by grace, not of works, so that any of us can boast. When we do all these crazy religious things, it becomes more about us, what we can do, not about God. Larry Penton tells a story. So imagine this. This happens in Alberta periodically. It's a hot, scorching day. It's over 100 Fahrenheit, 37, 35 Celsius, in San Antonio, Texas. A mom accidentally locks her 10-month-old in the car and now is frantic. Goes to the neighbors to get a clothes hanger. They can't get it open. At this point, the little one is turning blue and foaming at the mouth. Well, other people are coming around. A guy who worked for an auto wrecker grabbed a hammer, smashed the back window out, and saved the child. Hero. His name was Fred. He comes to save the day, or so you'd think. What happened was the lady whose car it was, whose baby was in the car, threatened to sue him for damaging her car. Ben said, I just thought, what's more important, the baby or the window? Sounds crazy, right? Well, that's how silly we look to God when we let such little things of this life take over our thinking and lose sight of keeping the main thing the main thing. Eleanor Roosevelt said, freedom makes a huge requirement of every human being. With freedom comes responsibility. For the person who is unwilling to grow up, the person who does not want to carry their own weight, this is a frightening prospect. The responsibility of which she spoke is a concern for the welfare of others and the nation as a whole. When the citizen of a country becomes self-centered and me-orientated, freedom is soon lost. Can I say that again? Do you know the world that you live in? When the citizens of a country become self-centered and me-orientated, freedom is soon lost. Many times it's hard to want to change, especially when we get older. So everybody who's younger, you guys, take five. We are used to a routine. We know what to expect, and we try to limit unexpected surprises. The Judaizers, who were Jews that embraced the message of Christ, are stuck in their traditions of the past, and they're not only not moving forward themselves, they're blocking everyone around them. When Christopher Columbus wanted to sail to the unknown world, there were going to be some dangers. Some of the concerns were that the world was flat and they could fall off the end of the world. Or there'd be wild creatures like dragons waiting to swoop down on them. Fear, especially of the unknown, can threaten to sabotage any of our future adventures. The law is like being chained to a heavy cannonball while being thrown over the side of a ship. Through Jesus' salvation, he broke the curse of the law over the Jews and gave the Gentile world an open invitation to encounter the living God. We've been set free to be everything God created us to be. This freedom and walking by the Spirit of God should be evident in our lives in how we love others. We are choosing to be interdependent on Christ, to walk with us daily, and to guide us on the path that we should be living on. Scott McKnight asked this question. What would this freedom look like when we find it? First, it's a person who trusts, loves, and obeys God through Christ and in the Spirit. Every morning, when we wake up, we can invite the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us in our interactions with others. Second, it's a person who loves and serves. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Jesus says, the one who wants to lead should be the servant of all. Third, the person lives before God with a clear conscience, growing before God in holiness and love. Keep short accounts with God. Regularly throughout the day, engage Jesus and be aware of the missteps or sin in our lives and being open with God about it and making it right with those around us. Without pouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, it now meant God would reside within us wherever we go. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live this life of freedom with Christ without guilt, shame, worthlessness, and the weight and bondage of sin. We're empowered by the Spirit to deal with the junk in their lives, and we have junk in our lives. And now, with this newfound freedom, we are empowered to share with others so they too can experience this freedom in Jesus. We don't need more rules. We don't need more do's and don'ts. We need to be reminded that we are daughters and sons of the Most High God and that He loves how He made us. And He created us to love Him with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Let's pray. God, thank you for the freedom that comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. You have come and done for us what we could not do for ourselves. You have saved us through your sacrificial life, and now you ask us to go and do likewise. Strengthen our desire to love others the way that you love us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Couple announcements, benediction, we'll be sing one more song and you'll be dismissed. July 30th is our baptism Sunday that you'll want to be a part of. Today, just a reminder for praying for people. We get to pray for Remy and her parents. We get to pray for Benjamin and his parents. And so if you aren't praying, here's an opportunity, a reminder to be praying for these young families. I heard a story about a guy from Saskatchewan who was dating, engaged to a girl. She sent him a Christmas present, and before Christmas came, she broke up with him. He and she marries. He's married for 35 years. He still has this present from this girl. He's never opened it. What good is that gift? As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that Jesus died on our behalf. He has given us a free gift, but we need to be able to accept it. Amen.
All right, let's stand and sing this last song. Have a great week, everyone. God's so